Well, moving on with the news, and Russian warplanes have inflicted heavy casualties on terrorists during the latest strikes on Syria.
Over the past day, 67 sorties were launched. The fighter jets successfully hit 60 terrorist targets in Syria. As a result of our strikes, 6 control centers and communications hubs, 6 ammunition dumps and fuel depots, 17 camps and terrorist training bases, 3 underground terrorist facilities in the province of Latakia have been destroyed. Edirek also destroyed the headquarters of the terrorist group Liwa al-Haq. According to radio intercepts, as a result of the strike, 2 high-ranking ISIL commanders and about 200 terrorists were killed.
The Russian military official also said fighter jets killed another 100 militants near the city of Aleppo. Russian warplanes have been targeting terrorist positions in Syria for 2 weeks now. Mission objectives are selected through coordination between Moscow and Damascus, as well as aerial reconnaissance. The move has drawn criticism from some Western governments and their regional allies. Russia says it's targeting terrorists regardless of their affiliation. The Pentagon chief has confirmed reports about Washington's plans to modify a training program it launched for Syrian opposition groups earlier this year.
We have been looking for now several weeks at ways to improve that program. I wasn't satisfied with the early efforts in that regard, so we have devised a number of different approaches to that going forward. And taken them to President Obama, and I think you'll be hearing very shortly from him in that regard about the effort, the proposals that he has approved and that we're going to go forward with.
More information on what you know.
In a joint press conference with his British counterpart in London, Carter stressed that the U.S. will keep training forces in Syria. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has announced that it would end its failed $500 million program to train and equip Syrian groups. It said the U.S. will limit its military actions to identifying Daesh targets in Syria. The Pentagon also said there will be no American ground forces in the war-ravaged Arab country. The comments come amid Russia's massive military action against terrorists in Syria. Well, that's while a new report reveals that Saudi Arabia is increasing its weapons supplies to foreign-backed militant groups in Syria following Russian airstrikes. A Saudi official who's asked not to be named says the modern high-powered weaponry will go to Jaish al-Fatah, the Free Syrian Army, and the Southern Front. He told the British media that the new deliveries will include guided anti-tank weapons. The official did not rule out the possibility of supplying surface-to-air missiles to foreign-backed militants. He also called for stronger U.S. leadership, admitting that neither the West nor its Arab allies have a strategy for resolving the four-year conflict. He also reiterated the Saudi stance on Syria, saying a compromise that would allow Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to remain in power would be the worst-case scenario. Well, joining us from Idaho is Mark Glenn, who is a political commentator. Thank you very much for your time here on Press TV. Well, Mark, a very interesting cycle of events going on. We see the United States actually saying that it was a failure, the whole program to train and support these moderate rebels, the good terrorists. And now we have the U.S. staunch ally, the Saudis, coming into the scene, and now them providing these militants, these moderates, rebels, as they call them, with weaponry.
Yes, I think we can assume right off the bat that the Americans and the Brits and the Israelis and the Saudis are absolutely terrified at the events of the last 2 weeks. The entire script now is unwinding before the eyes of the world. They can no longer maintain this this fiction that this group is anything but, and this group I'm talking about is Daesh, that it is anything but a Western and Israeli and Saudi-created monster that has ravaged the Middle East. And so they're standing there naked before the eyes of the world. They don't know what to do next. They are stumbling into a war with a nuclear-powered nation such as Russia, and they don't seem to have the wits about them to back away from this. They are looking at this in the worst-case scenario. That's the term that the Saudi government used in talking about Assad remaining in power. But the real worst case scenario for this entire thing, for them, as far as they're concerned, is that the United States and the West are going to lose control of the Middle East. This is the whole reason for pushing Russia out of Syria, as they have tried to do now since the 1960s. And the fact that it may be Syria today that is liberated by the Russians, tomorrow it may be Jordan, and then the day after that it may be Saudi Arabia, and then finally on to Palestine itself. And so, as I said in my initial statement, we can be rest assured that there are lots of dirty diapers in some very important offices right now in the United States, in Israel, and certainly in Saudi Arabia.
Well, the U.S. President Barack Obama earlier said that Yemen will not be a proxy war between the United States and Russia. Are you actually suggesting that this action by the Saudis right now is, in fact, a declaration of war against the Russians?
Yeah, and absolutely. And it will be a proxy war. The Saudis, they don't make a move unless they check first with the United States. They wouldn't be giving these weapons and basically accelerating and escalating this this war unless they had the express permission by the United States to do so. So we can be rest assured that this thing is going to get worse before it gets better. But at the same time, this is, unfortunately, it's much like bringing a new baby into the world. There's a very painful birth and delivery that has to take place, a lot of screaming and hollering, but at the end of the day, something good does come of it. And I do believe that that is what we are seeing now. It is the birth of the new Middle East.
Thank you very much, Mark Glenn, political commentator, joining us from Idaho.